real dicey. I said a long time ago that Trump reminds me of a Shakespearean tragic comic pathetic character, like Othello, who went insane and killed his wife over jealousy and paranoia. Trump, not jealous, but his paranoia is certainly substantial, and narcissism more than substantial, and combined they make a powerful potion that could cause the man big mental and psychological trouble. Had a story today, Trump is unraveling. Even his base can't ignore it now. Trump is thrashing around like a fish on a dock, trying to distribute or project blame for his catastrophic, his calamitous failure to handle the coronavirus pandemic, and essentially for 2 months, allowing it to get a very firm foothold in this country and leading us to a point where today we went over 1 million Americans have been infected. Courtesy of Donald J. Trump and his number one boss man advisor, Jerry Kushner. Make no mistake about it. It was Jerry, among others, who pushed him in the beginning. Don't pay any attention to it. Downplay it. So there you go. So what's Trump doing? He's blaming the Democrats. He's blaming China. He's blaming health professionals. He's blaming everyone but himself. This is a classic to watch unfold. Very disturbing and potentially very dangerous. I'm going to do this one story, then we're going to get right to Henry in just a minute. Henry, welcome aboard real quick. Hi.
Hi, John. Good to be back.
All right, here's the story. Trump says COVID reparations are coming. U.S. will bill China at least $160 billion. Now, it turns out that that $160 billion isn't close to being accurate, apparently. That's what Germany is saying. In fact, the quote is, "A time is coming," said Germany's Bild, "when those responsible will be held accountable." And they're talking about the Chinese. Donald Trump is saying that we're looking at things, a quote here, "Germany's looking at things, and we're looking at things, and we're talking about a lot more money than Germany's talking about." So the Donald is apparently going to go after communist China for maybe $1 trillion. I wouldn't be at all surprised. He is widening the circle of blame for the pandemic as fast as he possibly can. And the sole motivation for that is his reelection. He is now including experts who warned him about this months ago. Here's a little quick story. It's just got a 90 seconds, 60 seconds. The U.S. passed a milestone on Tuesday, today, of 1 million confirmed cases of coronavirus. When asked about it at a press briefing, President Donald Trump was quick to blame public health experts. Business Insider reports that Trump claimed there were very good experts, quote, end quote, who predicted the virus would never affect the United States. However, dozens of public health officials warned Trump early on about a U.S. outbreak that could be catastrophic. Intelligence officials and Obama administration aides also repeatedly sounded the alarm about the impending pandemic. Nevertheless, Trump took no action until weeks, I'll say it's 2 months, after the virus gained a foothold in the United States. And that leads us up to where we are right now with Trump threatening China and talking about a lot more money than $160 billion. Henry, this is getting to be a little dangerous, in my view. I don't know how you see it. We don't like to do too much politics here, but he's threatening China. And the Chinese are telling a lot of people that it was the U.S. American military contingent that came to the International Military Games at Wuhan a month before this allegedly broke out, that brought the virus from here and or Canada. You know the story. It's a little bit nebulous, but both sides are hurling bricks at each other, and now Trump has just thrown a boulder at China. And it's crazy. Anyhow, the stage is yours, my friend.
Yeah, well, along those lines, the Trump does a lot of projections. So there's quite a bit of evidence that indicates that he was definitely warned about this outbreak. And he was warned very early. And it's not clear whether he reads his briefings or understood what he was being told. But, public documents made it very clear what was going on in China, and they made it very clear very, very early. I mean, we've covered this pretty extensively in the various interviews going back to January 8th. But just, as a quick review, China released the sequence right about that time in early January. So there was no doubt that it was a coronavirus that was closely related to SARS. And once they had that sequence and released it, they kind of fine-tuned their assay. So they had a PCR assay, and they had initially said there were 59 cases that were suspect based on symptoms, and then the PCR testing brought it down to 41. And they tried to link those to a wet market in Wuhan. But it soon became clear that there were a lot more than 41 cases. And, a group in the UK came to the conclusion that there were like 10,000 cases in Wuhan based upon two of the cases showing up at border crossings. One was going into Thailand, the other was going into Japan. And the fact that these two people that were positive for the virus and it come from Wuhan that had a population of 19 million in the metropolitan area made it clear that, not that many people are traveling, and they come up with two positives would mean there had to be a pool of like 10,000. So if there's 10,000 people infected with the virus in Wuhan, they couldn't have all come from a fish market, and they had to be involved with human-to-human transmission, and the transmission had to be fairly efficient, and airplanes fly. So, I mean, there was no reason to think that the virus wouldn't come to the United States or wouldn't come to Europe or would be at all contained just because it had already started to escape from China, and that's one of the most effective ways of finding out what's going on in China is to see what they're exporting. And so this was in January. So in January, it was clear to anybody that could do math that if you had two positives, and in fact, by the time they wrote the report, there were three positives. There's another one from Thailand, so there were two from Thailand and one from Japan. And so to have three people infected with the virus and crossing borders and leaving China indicated, and all of them coming from Wuhan, made it clear that there were thousands of cases in Wuhan. And there were even reports coming out of China saying, well, how do you pick up cases in Thailand and Japan and not pick up any cases in China other than Wuhan? And in fact, at the time, there were still only 41 cases acknowledged. So that indicated that China not only was undercounting and maintaining there were only 41 cases, they stayed at 41 for about a week or so. So you knew that 41 was a gross undercount. You knew that China wasn't changing the number and you knew that China was denying that there were any cases anywhere other than Wuhan tied to this fish market. And so it was all nonsense. And anybody that could read and had the internet and could do math and had any kind of analytical abilities would know that there were thousands of cases in China. China was lying when saying there were only 41 in Wuhan,
yeah,
and that they were spread around Wuhan, around China. And the reports came out shortly thereafter that all of the major cities had cases, and then when they tried to lock down Wuhan, 5 million people left, and so they spread out all over China, and there was no reason to think all of these infected people were going to stop at the border. So it was obvious that the virus was transmitting human to human, and it was obvious that it had already spread out of Wuhan. It was in all the major cities of China. And it was obvious that it had already left China and was in countries in Europe and was in countries in the United States, cities in the United States, because there were no limits on people traveling from China. And
right.
So the
and not
idea
just on
that
Chinese
he didn't
airlines,
know,
Henry.
I know. They
this
were
is important.
American
there are other airlines that people need to keep that in mind. Go ahead.
Right. There were no limits. They were going into Hong Kong by train. They were going, you know, crossing borders and showing up in Thailand, showing up in Japan, showing up in Singapore. So it was clear that the virus wasn't stopping at the border. And it was clear that there would be no reason that it would be limited to countries adjacent to China. Airplanes had already been invented. They were widely used by people in China. And there's plenty of Chinese students that are in the United States that would be traveling,
hundreds of
thousands, and families that would come to visit them. And so the idea that it wasn't here or that it wasn't going to Europe was silly, and that's exactly what happened. And even when the CDC had a narrow, you know, surveillance, partially because they didn't have enough test kits, so they were just testing people who came from Wuhan initially, and then they were just testing people that came from China. They totally were ignoring anybody that was coming from Europe. And it was clear in February when it showed up in Iran and Italy that it was going to be all over the Middle East and it was going to be all over Europe and that there would be people coming from those locations to the U.S. So they'd be coming to the West Coast from China and they'd be coming to the East Coast from Europe. And when other countries started reporting their first case, they kept on being people that had been to Italy, to northern Italy even. And that these weren't Italians. These were nationals from these various countries who had gone to Italy for, you know, a ski vacation or been on a field trip from a school and in some cases they had actually been to soccer matches in Milan. They had been to a fashion show in Milan that had people from New York that went to this fashion show in February. And so there were all these indications that the virus wasn't confined to China. It had already gone into Europe, and had already gone into Iran, and there was no reason to think that people coming from Europe, including those who went to Europe for like the fashion show, wouldn't be bringing the virus back. But they weren't being tested, and they weren't being tracked because the testing in the U.S. was limited to those in China. So that's what seeded New York. That's what seeded the whole East Coast. And none of this was unexpected. And all of this was obvious from public documents. And you didn't even need sequences. I usually use the sequences to make predictions and to understand what's going on. You didn't even need that. You could see these reports that were coming from all of these countries. You said, oh, their first case was somebody who had traveled to Italy. And they weren't just in Europe. They were in Africa. They were in South America. They were in Mexico. They were in Canada. They were everywhere except for the U.S. And the only reason they weren't in the U.S. is because the U.S. wasn't testing anybody from Europe. So the virus was here. The people had brought the virus here. But they hadn't been reported because they weren't testing anyone that wasn't from China. So they limited who they were going to test, in part because they didn't have enough kits. And they gave this very skewed version of, oh, the only people that are bringing the virus to the U.S. are coming mostly to the West Coast because they're flying in from China. And the only reason that that was the profile is because that's who was being tested. Mm-hmm. The virus didn't care if the CDC was going to test whoever they were flying in from. The virus was just taking a free ride and spreading in the United States.
Right. One note on this, and it really irks me every time I see Trump mention how he cut off all travel from China. I stopped China. I stopped the travel. He didn't do anything of the sort. He may have stopped the Chinese national air carrier, but as Henry mentioned, these people are leaving by train, by bus, by foot. They can get on an airplane in Hong Kong, in Japan, in the Philippines, South Korea. They could get over here any way they wanted to, and they did, and they still are to this day being able to fly in here on those air carriers. And I don't know how
and
many.
They weren't just Chinese nationals.
No.
They were Americans, just like the Americans that were on the cruise ship. There was in Japan off the coast there and made stops in Hong Kong and Vietnam and Japan.
Up in Yokohama, yeah.
Right. So Americans had gone to China and came back with the virus. Americans had gone to Europe and come back with the virus. Most of the virus that came here came from Americans who had traveled. They traveled to all of these countries. They had Americans that went to Egypt and took Nile cruises and brought back the virus because Egypt was full of the virus from Italy. So they ended up coming back here and they brought the Italian version of the virus from Egypt. And others went to northern Italy and brought it from Italy. And the whole East Coast got seeded with this Italian lineage, which is since expanded out, and it is what is dominant on the whole Northeast. Is dominant in New York, it's dominant in New Jersey, it's dominant in Connecticut, it's dominant in Massachusetts. All of those outbreaks are the Italian lineage. And they all came while the CDC was testing people from China. And the U.S. is one of the only places outside of Europe that said they didn't have any cases from Europe because everybody else was testing these because it was clear that new cases were showing up in all of these countries. And what they all had in common is they were travelers from Italy. So it's clear that Italy not only had an outbreak there, but they were exporting it, and they were exporting it via nationals from these various countries, from Algeria, from Brazil, and throughout Europe. And that's where the virus was coming from, and that's where the virus was going, and that's where the U.S. was not testing. And this was all... Trump got dozens of reports on this, and they told him that there was a virus. And he told, and you know, they're going to go and sue China for not stopping it. You don't think China wanted to stop it? You think China wanted to end up shutting down most of its country and
maybe losing several million
economy?
People or more? We don't know.
Right, right, right. So the idea of you know, one country being at fault for this. I mean, because
it's typical
an infectious
Trump
disease
projection.
And Trump, the U.S. has more cases than anybody in the world. And none of it started here. It started in China. Trump had two oceans to separate the U.S. from the rest of the world. And more viruses here than anywhere in the world by a very large margin. There's
so where
more
does the
here
buck
than
stop,
there was.
Dear friends, where does the buck stop, huh? He's going to
yeah,
get $1 trillion from the Chinese. Forget
right.
it. Forget
right.
about it.
Right, right. I mean, it's all projection. As soon as he started talking about, oh, it's only one person that could have, you know, one place that it could have been stopped, you know.
That's right.
and saying it was all China's fault, then that's because there was all this evidence that was all his fault. He didn't read his briefings. He was warned.
As we've ignored it.
He was going out on campaign
rallies. He paid right. no attention to the intelligence briefings he was getting, perhaps right. in December. We don't know for sure. But it may have gone back to early December, mid-December.
Yeah,
they
it
knew
gone,
what was going
because
on over there.
The outbreak started in December, and there were already rumors that it was a coronavirus. There were rumors in mid-December that the outbreak in Wuhan was caused by a coronavirus. And then China tried to... You know, arrested the those that were sounding, you know, blowing the whistle and sounding the alarm, and said that they were spreading false rumors, and that's a giveaway in and of itself. If there wasn't anything to these rumors, then why would they care what these guys were saying? They'd say, you guys are not, there's nothing going on here, and they would prove it by nothing going on there. The fact that they were arresting people for saying that there was a coronavirus that was spreading in Wuhan was good evidence that there was a coronavirus spreading in Wuhan. And U.S. intelligence knows that, and they probably had additional intercepts that basically showed what kind of concerns Beijing had, and they were concerned about this virus. And there was even a partial sequence that was described in December. It was the end of December. I think it was December 31st. And they said, well, we've only got 4% coverage, and it's a coronavirus, and it's kind of like SARS, but it's not that close, you know. And that's how it was characterized in December. And it wasn't that much later that the full sequence came out. The full sequence came out like in the first week in January. And once the full sequence came out, there was no doubt that it, I mean, you just plug it into GeneBank and in 5 seconds, you see that the closest match was SARS. And you know, it's a SARS virus from 2003 in humans. And it was the SARS virus in the civet, and then it was the SARS virus that was in the second round of the outbreak there, that after it went away and came back, that mm-hmm. virus reacted with it. And so if it was the closest that it was cousin was a virus that killed 700 people and spread to multiple countries, although they really all came from that Metropole Hotel as far as the countries outside of China, it was clear that was a problem. And it was clear that there were literally thousands of cases in Wuhan in early January December.
Easy. No, I'd say December.
And that it was, you couldn't get that many people without it spreading human to human. So everybody knew it, and Trump was told it, and he ignored it. And so it's everybody else's fault because he wasn't paying attention. So in any event, so as you said, there were a bunch of milestones. I mean, the 3 millionth case worldwide was like yesterday. The millionth case was today in the U.S., there's over 48,000 that are dead. Tomorrow, it'll pass the number who died in the entire Vietnam War, which is a little over 58,000. And that by the end of the day tomorrow, it'll be at 60,000, which is Trump's magic number. He says, "Oh, we're going to hold it to 60,000." You know, it's a lot better than
100,000.
Right, right.
He did exactly. Say maybe 70.
Yeah. No, well, he said 50 to 60 a week
right.
ago.
When
it was already in the 40s, it was clear that it was going to be 50,000 yeah. within
he just
days
can't do
of
daily.
When he said 50 to 60. And
he can't
then,
do daily math. Can't do it.
Right, right. And so now, a few days before it's going to hit 60, he went from 50 to 60 to 60 to 70, and it's not clear that it's going to really stop at 70. I mean, there's still 2,000 a day are dying, and there's still 25,000 new cases every day. Now, the numbers are a little bit lower in the last couple of days, and so there may be a little bit of a hint that it's slowing down slightly.
That's seasonal.
They're lifting the shutdown. So the shutdowns are being lifted, and those are just starting to go into effect. And there are these outbreaks that are getting out of control, including meat processing plants, and including prisons, and including long-term care facilities. And those are not being tested. Those are gross undercount on what's already been reported from all of those types of institutions. And they're part of the reason they're not being tested, or at least the excuse, is that they don't have enough kits.
It's still
and
on
Trump
that
keeps
after
on saying,
all this time.
And Trump keeps on saying, oh, there's plenty of kits, knowing full well that if there were more kits, there would be more cases. And he definitely doesn't want to hear about more cases.
Nope.
And these outbreaks now have gotten to the level in the food processors that they're threatening the food supply. So today, Trump came out with an order using his power
his magic
to go
pencil.
And demand mm-hmm. that these processing plants remain open.
He ordered
or,
them open.
Or the
That's
ones,
right.
Right, right. So he ordered them open, but he didn't say a couple of days ago, the CDC said that they really need to get the virus under control in these plants. But they didn't say, this is what you need to do. They said, this is what you could do. It's optional. You know, here's a tip.
No.
You could do this. Here's another tip. You can do this. You don't really have to do anything if you don't want to. But, you know, we thought we'd give you a couple pointers, and this is what you could do to get the virus under control. And Trump is signed this order so that they can't be sued. Because if they're going to order these plants open and they know they're dangerous, and they know that they're refusing to do testing. And and the math isn't real difficult. If you got 6,000 people at the plant and you tested the supervisors and 40% of them are positive, well, the 40% of the 6,000 are going to be positive. You're going to have 2,400 people that are that are positive, but you've only identified 120 because you're not testing. And, you know, that's the old, you know, story that the best way to control lab-confirmed cases is to just don't do the test.
Don't test, don't tell. He's ordered these plants to stay open. And I'm curious as to how the unions are going to respond to that. Most of them are unionized, and the union is already fighting. In some case, in Colorado, they're fighting one plant there in Colorado Springs, I think it was. Anyway, they're
Greeley.
That's
Colorado.
It. Thank you, Greeley. They're not happy. Here's another one for you. We'll get back to this in just a moment. I just got this. Thank you, Rick. Apparently, a think tank in the UK is now saying that China should be sued for $6.5 trillion for coronavirus damages in the UK.
Yeah.
This is really, you know what this is looking like? A run-up to World War III. And I think I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But you got the entire Western world, Germany, the UK, the US, now demanding that China pay for something that it's absurd on its face, and they're all lining up against it. This is not looking good right now. I don't know how much patience the Chinese have, but we're going to find out.
They're going to just say, you know, they did X, Y, and they shut down the whole city of 19 million people, and they shut down these other cities, and they did everything they could to contain it, and they did contain it. And the other countries didn't do the same measures they did, and they didn't contain it. And, you know, I mean, that's going to be what their argument is. That we not only contained it, we let it be known exactly what we did. And we went through these extreme measures, and we put, you know, set up fever camps and took temperatures, and anybody that had a fever had to go to that fever camp. And we did quarantines, and we stopped, you know, we shut down the entire city, and we shut down multiple cities.
Hell, they even nailed people in their homes. Come on, they really went after it.
They had
no mercy.
So that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, you know, they did. It wasn't deliberate. It was, you know, they still don't know what the origin is. And you know, at best, it was an accident. You know, there's going to be zero evidence that it was a weapon. I mean, making a weapon out of a coronavirus is just insanity. And there's no weapon. And, you know, at best, it somehow got out of a lab.
Here's the bigger story.
Alternatively, it did jump from an animal to a person, and it spread silently, and then it took off.
Is this supposedly going to end up in the International Criminal Court? What is he talking about? He's just going to demand it and then sanction them with trade to try to extract it from them? This is madness.
I think it's just a distraction. I mean, Trump wants to blame whoever he can. And if he's got a couple countries in Europe saying it's China's fault, well, then he'll go and he'll say, oh, yeah, that's what I've been saying all along.
That's what
it's
he
all
does.
China's fault.
Germany and UK already. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they're going to say X, Y, and Z. You know, they're going to say that this is where it started. And they'll say it's an accident. And they tried to control it, and they did control it. And the other countries, you know, followed them. I mean, they set the example. They showed how to control it. And this is what you had to do to get the virus under control, and they were able to do that. Other countries, like, I guess, New Zealand, said they got it under control. I don't know. A small country. But, and they'll say, you know, there's no reason that you should have that many people. I mean, especially the United States. They'll say, oh, how did you get to be number one? You know, by such a wide margin, how did you get so many cases? You know, most of your virus that's all over the country came from Italy. How did you let all this virus in from Italy, and what did you do to control it? and why are you number one, and why do you still have 25,000 new cases every day? Why do you have a million cases that are confirmed? And why do you have 58,000 deaths? And you know, they'll say, you guys don't know what you're doing. You want to blame everybody else for your incompetence. And I think they can make a pretty strong argument.
This is all about. It's right. all about
no,
deflecting
I know.
Accountability from Trump,
right,
as we've
right,
been saying
right.
for 2.5 months or longer.
So that's what I'm saying. They can rattle, you know, do saber rattling and say it's your fault, and you know, do all this finger pointing, and they know it's your fault, and they'll say, you know, we said that there was a problem, and you know, WHO declared it a fake back in, I don't know what the date was, I think it was January sometime. And when they made that declaration, it was not in the United States, or at least it wasn't, at least it wasn't acknowledged that it was in the United States. So WHO put out a statement, a warning, and they, you know, had a meeting before they put out a statement, which, you know, it was already pretty clear there was a problem. You know, you could argue that China convinced them to wait, but they waited like a week. And these other countries didn't do anything. I mean, they had this ECDC doing, putting in their 2 cents, and they said, oh, we don't think anything's going to come to the European Union. You know, there might be some spillage into countries in Asia, but we don't really think it's gonna, you know, they've never heard of airplanes either. They didn't think it could get to Europe from China for, I don't know, some bizarre rationalization.
One of the first things we said here was that viruses love air travel. We've been saying that since January 8th or earlier.
We said it 17 years ago with SARS. They already showed how it could travel. And it was the same virus, essentially. And it went, it left China, and it got to Canada, and it got to Vietnam, and it got to Singapore. And it got to Taiwan. And all of those were air travel. And
we did say it 17 years ago. Henry was right here, and we said exactly that.
So it's ridiculous. It's a rerun. There's nothing, you know, that unusual or unexpected. And the only thing that's unusual is unexpected is these these guys who are supposed
Donald
to be doing
J.
a risk
Trump.
Analysis. Risk analysis that we don't think it can come to Europe. From
can't cross
China.
Those because oceans. We got all this insulation. Don't worry. Nothing to see here.
They said the same thing about H5N1. They didn't think birds could fly that far. These were the same guys making the same predictions back in 2005. They didn't believe that the H5N1 from Qinghai Lake could come to Europe.
But they never heard of the Pacific Flyway. They never heard of these long, thousands of miles birds flew.
They said dead birds don't fly. I mean, that's what their mantra was. They said, oh, this is a high path virus. It'll kill all the birds. They can't travel with it. And it was, you know, the outbreaks went right along the flyways. I mean, it went to the Caspian Sea, and then it went to the Mediterranean Sea, and then it went, you know, into
just freeways,
Egypt.
Viral freeways, what they were.
Right.
Hey,
right.
The bigger question, Henry, is we don't have a lot of time here, but, and I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I don't know how desperate Trump's narcissism is to get reelected. I don't know how far he'll push this, but this is potentially, I think, a dangerous situation. And I'm only because of the man himself. He's shown signs of very bizarre behavior. And this is his out now. He's projecting all of this horror that he's allowed to happen in this country on China. And he's been joined by Germany and the UK. So how far he'll take this, I think that's what we have to be watching for.
Yeah, I think he'll end up doing a lot more things domestically than internationally. I mean, he'll complain and he'll say that we should do this and we should do that. And I mean, like I said, the warnings were there. And, you know, it was other, I mean, what I described is all public information. I wasn't reading any secret cables and had access to any information that anybody with an internet connection didn't have. These were widely discussed. These were all over the internet. These were official reports. I mean, WHO put out its public health emergency of international concern. I mean, that's what they called it, and that's what it was. And many scientists said this was going to be a pandemic because it was too lethal and too easily transmitted and had already blown up to be too large to think that it was going to be contained. There were lots of scientists who were saying in January or early February that this was going to be a pandemic, especially once it got to Europe. Once it got to Europe and the Middle East, it was clear that it wasn't going to be contained in Asia. It was already in both of those areas, and it was spreading like wildfire. And it was clear that the U.S. had their eyes closed and it wasn't paying any attention to what was going on in Europe. And so there was no reason it wouldn't be in the U.S. It was definitely in the U.S. The only thing that was missing was an actual test because the CDC would only test. You had to travel from China to be tested. So they didn't care if you had plastic symptoms, and they don't care. They didn't care if you came from Italy, which was clearly spreading the virus all over the place. All they did is, have you been in China in the last 2 weeks? And that was the only real question that they were asking. So, you know, I think the international argument is just silly. I mean, they'll complain and they'll say, it's your fault.
It's silly, all right.
This cost all this money, and China will say,
but look who's pushing.
You know, it's not that they ignored it. I mean, they may have been a little bit delayed, but they certainly locked down Wuhan long before it was at least confirmed in the U.S.
Oh, they came down on Wuhan like a ton of bricks.
Or Europe. Yeah,
absolutely.
Or Europe. Right.
Yeah.
And so it was clear what was going on. I mean, if Germany and who's the other one? England?
England.
Who else is suing them?
UK. UK,
yeah.
Germany,
if they want
the
to sue anybody, if they want to sue anybody, they should sue the ECDC. They get paid to do risk assessment. This is, it wasn't a problem. They said this like in February. They said this after WHO came out with their fake announcement. They said, oh, yeah, it's not going to get to the European Union. It might hit a few countries in Asia, but that's it. I mean, if you want to sue somebody, that's who you should sue. They were getting paid for bad advice, very bad advice. And so, in any event, there's plenty of blame to go around. And
it was
a pandemic.
That wasn't unexpected.
People have talked about pandemics. They talk about pandemics coming out of China and being a novel
right.
virus. And they had already seen SARS 17 years ago. So, you know, the idea that another virus that's closely related to SARS that had already produced 10,000 cases in China in January was going to be contained in January. There was no, that was all hopes and dreams. Had no science. That was just people saying, well, I hope it doesn't come here. No, I don't think it's going to come here. How's it going to come here? It's got to come here in an airplane. You ever heard of airplanes coming from China before? I mean, these guys are total morons. They were saying it wasn't coming. And now they're like, oh, we were wrong, but it's your fault, you know, because they came there and we didn't see it coming. And Trump says he didn't see it coming.
Then open your eyes
if you didn't see it coming. If you couldn't see this coming, you weren't looking.
As U.S. intelligence warned Trump, private briefings of this deadly virus, Trump kept saying, remember, it'll disappear, don't worry. Well, today, right. Trump claims the worst of the pandemic is now over. That's what he said.
Well, he's still saying it'll disappear.
Correct.
When he was asked, he said it was going to zero, and they said, well, how do you get from going to zero to a million cases? And he says, well, it's still going to go to zero.
the logic is incredible.
Former
CIA officer David Priest told MSNBC that all presidents disagree with some of the intelligence analysis that they get, but he added that Trump's public denial shows that, quote, he thought he knew better and didn't need to prepare the American people for what was coming, as we told him.
Right, he's a stable genius, and only he can fix it. and this is what you end up getting. He doesn't believe his intelligence. He also said today it's not my fault.
Oh, he said, don't blame me. That's what he said. Don't blame me.
It's never his fault. Nothing is his fault. That's his mantra. He denies any.
He gave himself a perfect 10, too, remember? On his hand.
He always gives himself a perfect 10. I've never heard him not give a 10. I mean, what? Can you name one thing that he said he got a 9 on?
He doesn't know the number 9.
Yeah, right. Perfect 10. It's not just a 10, it's perfect 10. So, in any event, the virus is here, and I think that, this relaxing the conditions is only going to create more problems, because it's already clear that, some of these states that are doing it, Georgia is a good example. I mean, Georgia is the first one to basically, lift limits, and I say, well, the CDC put out, guidance on what it would take to move into stage one. And you're supposed to have a decline for 14 days, at least in the average. And where's your decline? It's on our website. We have a state website. Just look at the website. The website shows the numbers are going up. They're not going down. So it says, well, you can ask the Secretary of Health, whoever is in charge of the website, they ask her, where's the data that indicates that Georgia is in compliance with these guidelines? And she says, well, there were other considerations other than the data. It's ridiculous. And Georgia, if you do a case per 100,000, they have some of the highest counties in the country. The numbers aren't that high, but they don't have any people there, except they've got all these, fatal cases. And so they're really around this Albany, Georgia, which is in Doherty County, but these are counties adjacent to Doherty. And they don't have a lot of deaths. They might have 10 or 20 deaths, but there is very sparsely populated counties, and they've got a higher frequency than some of the counties in New York. And it's okay. They're in Georgia, and then Georgia's got something like 20 different prisons that have confirmed COVID cases. So it's throughout their prison system. And then they have all of these poultry houses in Georgia. So they do all this processing where those are out of control.
Two dead poultry workers that we know about in Georgia already.
Yeah, Yeah, and so they're going to relax the requirements and, you know, go to a barbershop and maintain your 6 feet. and they you know, opened up the things that are the most dangerous. You know, if you look at a cost-benefit ratio, these are, you know, haircut salon, you know, beauty salons, where you're going to have very close contact.
Our vice president today, Henry, went to
right. He didn't
Mayo
need a
Clinic.
Mask, right?
No, he didn't need one. He says he gets tested, quote, every day. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Every day he gets tested.
Yeah, right.
Never
right,
mind taking right. it back to the wife and kids and grandkids. Never mind that. He gets tested
yeah.
every day.
Well, he was visiting patients. I mean, he put the patient at risk. He was the only one in the room without a mask.
He totally
the patient had a mask, and everybody with him had a mask. He didn't need one because Trump doesn't like masks. And he, you know, he's got to impress an audience of one and go there and put everybody else at risk.
I've seen two different news videos of him saying, I get tested every day. That's why I didn't wear a mask. And to hell with everybody in the hospital. That didn't matter to me. I'm the vice president. This is really...
Well, his argument was he wasn't positive, and the mask is to prevent him from infecting others. And
correct.
So, but he doesn't get tested every day. He says, you know, I get regularly tested, and those around me get tested. But
he did
not,
say in one of
not,
them every day. I saw I played it earlier tonight. Every day, so
no,
he said.
I don't
of course, he doesn't, but he said that.
Right.
Did you? I'll send you the video. I played it.
Okay, I didn't hear it. Every day, I heard regularly or something. But
I'll send it to you just for fun.
I might have heard it wrong. So.
No, you heard it right because he said it on one regularly. I think it was Fox, and another one he said every day. Anyhow. Jeez,
yeah,
you can't make
that,
all this stuff up. This is the wildest Hollywood screenplay you could imagine, this whole scene. It's nuts.
I know. And well, their daily show is canceled. So, I mean, they didn't have a briefing today. And so far, they've only had one since the
Jerry Kushner out to do them. Or something. Henry, thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow night. It's pretty wild out there. We'll keep at it.
Okay, very good. Okay, stay safe. Take care.
Okay. Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, and we'll be right back with you tomorrow night. Take care.